Let me kick over to the notes and let's kick this thing. I feel like this is weird not doing this in a Google Hangout. So, and let me get, I need to get this open. Okay. And we have a little bit of a different intro tonight for you too, as well. So hang tight as we do it. Here we go. This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 240, recorded on December 10th, 2015.
Starting lineup for Home Gadget Geeks. Your host, coming in at 6'2 from Bellevue, Nebraska, Mr. Jim Collison. And your co-host, coming in at 5'10. From Omaha, Nebraska, Mike Wieger.
And we'll let that play out. That's kind of cool, Mike. Thanks for it. We wouldn't typically do that on the show. Maybe we should.
What finals week will do to you. You become so, you know, slap happy that you'll just make anything. So
maybe we should start doing more of that kind of stuff on the show. We'll actually, for the YouTube video, we'll cut that out because YouTube will block me from,
yes,
from
they
that
will.
Standpoint. So we're gonna block that part
so
out.
You so live listeners were the ones that got to hear it. Yeah.
Come listen live. Let me keep going though with the beginning of the show. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the Average Guy TV studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. Thank goodness for global warming. I shouldn't say that, but Mike, the weather has been amazing.
Is it December in Omaha? Like, really?
Unbelievable. Like, t-shirts and shorts, and it's been awesome. And of course, we post the show with world-class show notes each week out at theaverageguy.tv. You can join us live on our new mobile app now. You can find those both for Android and iPhone, thanks to Spreaker. And we want to thank LastPass for supporting us on that as well. One address gets you both, homegadgetgeeks.com. Home Gadget Geeks is a part of the Geeks Network. Find the link to this show and many other actually really good podcasts now, including Open Mic Night. And I'm going to have a question for you, Mike, here about that here in just a second. All out at the Geeks Network. That's thegeeksnetwork.com. All right. What the heck is up with Open Mic Night? That is the question that came from the chat room. Let me bring that in. I thought I saw that in here. Yeah, there we go. Let's see. I guess we answered the question like that. What is happening, and when's Open Mic Night coming back?
I was hoping no one would ask. No, it became a thing of a few weeks ago. We had a scheduling conflict like last minute. And in the past 2 weeks, it's been me, finals for law school. I'm in my third year, my final year of law school. Finals have hit, and I feel really bad I didn't alert the listeners, but we're just taking a quick little break here. We will be back next week or the following week. Whatever. Yeah, I think it's next week. We'll be back next week with the show, and we'll all be back to normal. It's been an unintended break. I didn't really think how much tax could be literally taxing on me for law school. So that's been the issue. So I apologize, but thank you guys for wondering where it's at, and it will be back, and we'll be good to go.
You're actually studying this year, which I'm super impressed with, by the way.
Yeah, tax is difficult, to say the least.
Yeah. I feel bad for you. Are you using, you know, you talked about some tech that you used to study where you would buy the books or get some stuff in PDF and have it read it to you. Have you engaged any new tech this year in helping you study?
That same technology. So in law school, the big thing is outline. So you create like a 60-page outline of the course, and that's kind of what you study from. And while you create it, you're learning, and then while you're memorizing it, you're learning. So I took my outline, plugged it into that, had it spit out an audio file where it read me my outline, and just I listened to it as much as I can. Always have it on, no matter what I'm doing. If I'm, you know, doing anything, just so I'm always hearing it. And maybe come final time, I'll hear that in my head and know what I'm supposed to answer.
No, I think it's a great way to go about studying for those of us who are more visually oriented or even audibly oriented. I'm that way too. And I wish I would have done more of that when I was in school, is just get that when I couldn't, because it was the 80s and we didn't have that technology yet.
Right.
But if we had, it would have been a lot better. You know, podcasting is the way to do that now. I listen to a ton of stuff and it just allows me to kind of absorb all that information. I thought it was really cool how you were taking though that spoken word and converting it to, or the written words, converting it to spoken word and making that work.
Yeah, there's all sorts of free apps out there. So if you're on a Mac, I searched the Mac App Store. That's what I'm on. But you can find them for free everywhere. Text-to-speech. Find one that works for you. What I did actually was it didn't naturally break up my topics for me. So I took like chapter one, did that, and I exported all my chapters out, went into GarageBand and just put maybe 5 seconds in between each so it didn't just jump right down so I could have time to pause it. Takes like, you know, a minute to do this. It's super easy. And then just put it on in the car, put it on when you're cleaning, put it on when you're doing other things and maybe it'll sink in. So,
yeah, no, it's helpful to recover that time.
Yeah.
That's out there. Hey, if you just joined us, if you're joining us on Blab and you're wondering like, who are these guys? We do this show every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, out at theaverageguy.tv/live. Typically we're in a Google Hangout. Tonight we wanted some engagement from you, and we'll be taking your the theme are your Christmas gadgets. So if you have wish lists or things you're hoping to get for Christmas that are tech related, we'd love you to jump in. We've got some things queued up and ready to talk about, but we'd love you to jump in. There's an open seat. Brian, I saw you jumped in and jumped back out. Looks like sometimes that's a mistake. There he is right there. So let me approve Brian to come in. And Brian Friedlander, of course, good friend of the show and has been on before. Brian, good to see you. How are you?
How you doing? Good. Really good.
You can hear us all right?
Yeah, pretty good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Hey, so Christmas list stuff, Brian, for you. What are you hoping Santa brings from a tech,
perspective? Oh, no. You got me. I pretty much have a lot of the stuff that I need, I'll tell you.
That's the problem, right?
I have too many gadgets, I'll tell you. Too many.
So what's your favorite one right now? I mean, if you were thinking your one go-to, and Robin, I see you, hang tight. Don't drop. We're going to do one at a time, so hang tight. But Brian, one thing you can't live without right now, what would it be?
Probably my I've actually been using the Surface 3 a lot. It's sort of my go-to. It's light. I stick it in my bag. That and my iPad are my two go-to pieces of technology right now. I use it all the time.
Very cool. Yeah.
Is that what you're on right now?
And actually, I'm on my iPhone.
Oh,
my
nice.
My other gadget. But actually, Mike, I heard you were talking about text-to-speech, and I do a lot of that. I use it a lot with the students I work with who a challenge with reading. But the other tool that I use a lot is the LiveScribe smart pens that record audio for note-taking. Oh, and it's been a great device over the years for me.
What's that called again? I'm going to write that down.
I happen to use the LiveScribe. It's called a Sky Wi-Fi pen. They discontinued that model, but they have the LiveScribe 3 that now syncs with the iPhone and Android phones. And it basically syncs what you write with the audio. In a sense, it bookmarks the audio, which is great. And then you can archive it in OneNote, Evernote, other cloud services.
See, and that's awesome because I use right now, like I'll just record audio during class if our professor lets us, but there's no sync to where I was taking my notes. On something like that, I would say, okay, when I was writing this, what were they talking about?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, the other thing too, I know you're in law school now?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so the other tool that I started to use with students is a tool called Audio Note Taker. And that actually, it kind of chunks the audio when a lecturer or professor is speaking, and it lets you tag the audio in chunks that then you can export or go back and review. So like, for example, professor says, this is going to be on the test. You can actually color code that audio chunk with the color green. And then as you listen, you can actually tag the audio and then export it later, which is really interesting. So it's kind of like almost like a word processor for audio chunks, the way it works.
That'd be awesome. And I can think to, I'm starting to think of like my future career and just being able to, when you're in a meeting with someone, a client or something like that, and being able to just go right back to that sort of stuff and use those tools. That'd be awesome.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Audio note take is great, especially if you're in classes where the professors give you PowerPoints or PDF files, because you can actually have the thumbnail of the slide and then record the audio for that slide. And there's also Android and iPhone apps that let you, you know, be mobile and then come back and sync it with the desktop application.
Oh, I miss the days when professors used PowerPoints. Law school, a little bit archaic. It's a little bit of just, you know, get up there and let us have it. So,
just gruntery. Brian, I put the link to the show you were in last. I think that was 196. Has it been that long? I think we've done another show with you since then. If folks,
we need to schedule one.
You know what? We're in the midst of scheduling right now, and so. I'll reach out to you this week and we'll get you scheduled for a February, March timeframe. Have you back on. Well, hey, anything else? Thanks for jumping in, but anything else?
No, that's it. Just like, you know, like I said, getting through the gadgets.
Pretty sweet that on a phone, you can join us via video, hear us. You sound great. I mean, the day has arrived. So Brian, and great to see you at the MVP conference, by the way.
Yeah. Likewise.
Take care, man. We'll see you.
Take care.
All right. Bye. And Robin, I think, who's new to the show, will let's see. Brian, just drop out if you can. There we go. Robin, I don't think she's listened before. We'll bring her in. And Robin, have we had you on before? Probably not.
No.
Welcome to the show.
No, I'm brand new. I liked the topic of your blab. I'm blab hopping tonight, finding interesting things, right?
That's awesome.
That's right. I love it. And I told my buddy Tommy TRC, who you can see over in the comments, he and I do a everyday tech talk blab on Monday nights. And so that's why I told him to listen in. But I wanted to say what Brian said about Surface Pro 3. I totally agree. It rocks. I'm waiting patiently for Santa to bring me my Surface Book.
Whoa.
I know.
You're going big time on that one, huh?
Well, and I have to say, I have to disclose, I'm a Microsoft blogger. So I have a little, you know, a few ins with that. So I'm waiting patiently.
Good.
But my home gadget thing that I am totally in love with this year is the Philips Hue lighting system.
Yep.
Right? So it's so cool. And I'm going to disclose again, sorry, that I got a starter set from Best Buy. But then my husband and I went and bought more Philips Hue lights on our own, because we loved it so much. So we have it in his man cave. We have it in our bedroom. We're going to add it to the living room. We're going to add it to this room, that room, everything else. And for those of you who don't have Philips Hue lighting yet, it is so totally cool. You can make any environment you want with it, with any color. Don't get the white only bulbs. You want to get the bulbs that have all the different colors, right?
Like $65. They're expensive, right?
I don't care how expensive they are. They are so freaking cool. And it's really very funny because my husband and I, we tease each other with the lights, right? So he might be in the man cave still, but I'll be in our bedroom and we'll change the theme for whatever it is, and it changes the light colors and stuff, and we just play back and forth and stuff. But it really is a very cool thing, and I think it makes a great Christmas present for families, things like that, that you can create this whole environment based on colors. And I love that you can take your own photos and create a theme based on those photos. And there's a lot of third-party apps for the Philips Hue system that will allow you to do even more than the regular app from Philips. But it's very cool, and I highly suggest it for people who are buying family kind of gifts or gifts for the totally geeky person on your list, you know, this year for Christmas. It really is very cool, and we have totally fallen in love with it at our house.
So here's the question. Do you have the Amazon Echo to go with them?
We do not have Amazon Echo.
It's the best combination of things in the world.
Why? Why?
So I'm sitting on my couch, and my wife and I love them. We have just the white ones. We're on a college budget, so we had to go with the white ones, but we've got them everywhere in the house. and you just, I'm sitting on the couch and we want to watch a movie. I just say, Alexa, turn off the living room light. And she does it, and the light will come off. And when we're laying in bed, we have the remote to the Echo, and we'll just say, hey, can you turn off all the lights? And she turns off all the lights in the apartment. And it's just, it's kind of a cool, because I had the lights before I had the Echo. And my only complaint was I have to get out my phone to do anything. I could almost tap it on the wall quicker, but with my voice, right, I don't even have to think of where my device is. So it's kind of cool. It'd be my one suggestion for your next gadget.
I totally understand what you're saying. They have a lot of different features for the Philips Hue. They have the wall mount things that you can mount inside rooms to tap to do the different things and that. And I love Windows and Android phones. And so I can talk to them quite a bit and have them do different things. And if this, then that, still your total buddy to voice command and do all sorts of different things. So we have, like, our Hue lights are set in our bedroom to go on at a certain time, just two of the lights in the room to help my husband wake up in the morning. And then, because I go back to sleep in the morning after he leaves, they're set to go off at a certain time too when he's done back there in the bedroom and that. So there's a lot of different possibilities for turning on, turning off lights, all that kind of thing. We have the lights turn on in his man cave at dusk and things like that. So when he comes home, it's not totally dark because he has a little of seasonal affective disorder and that. But they are so amazing and all the things you can do. And you can synchronize them with movies and stuff now, too. And you can just do so much. And I wish that I had more of a budget to add more of them to my outside holiday lights. I don't have it in the budget right now. You know, they are expensive, like you mentioned, Mike. But they are so super cool. And anybody who gets them, I'd say get at least three per room. Whatever room you're doing, get at least three of them. Whether it's the actual bulbs, the go lights, the whatever. They're super cool, and they can create, just with three of them, a total environment for whatever room you're in.
Well, that's cool. What I would suggest. That's a great suggestion on getting three, because my problem was I bought four, and I wanted them all over the apartment. So I had one in like each room. But you've got other lights in those rooms that aren't then controlled by that. Right. And it drives you nuts that you still in the same. So go room by room. If you can only afford, you know, one, two or three, just do one room, because you want the whole room to be controlled by that. It kind of defeats the purpose if you still have to get up and turn the lamp on or off or something like that. So, yeah, that's a good suggestion. Three at a time is probably
totally,
the perfect amount.
Totally great. Yes. Three at a time. Yeah. And that will create this atmosphere. And you can use the built-in on the app, the regular Philips Hue app. You can create a feel in the room with three bulbs. And so go room by room. Do your bedroom, do your dining room, do your living room, do your kitchen, your man cave, whatever. But do at least three bulbs at a time. And it makes a total difference. And we so love setting up all these different things. My husband, look, there you go.
Yeah, so there's a Hue control on the iPhone right there. And we can control them through the Echo. Mike and I both, by the way, Christmas time, good to get an Echo. They've been $150.
Right.
I saw a pallet of them at Home Depot.
Which, wow. Like,
they're outside of, they've somehow gotten them outside of Amazon.
You can also do the notification center one too, where you've got the widget. So when you, if you just want to open your phone and swipe down, then you've got your widget, which is kind of the way, if I'm not using Echo, that's what I use.
Exactly. And like my husband, in his man cave, he plays music, he plays guitar, he sings and stuff, and he sets it all up so the beat of the music is going with the different colored lights, and he, it's like it's a little nightclub in his little bitty man cave. And
it's a rocker's dream.
He totally loves it. So I know the price is still kind of high on these kind of lights, but it really is worth it, I think, for people who love this kind of gadget and who love to make an atmosphere in their home.
No, it's a good Christmas recommendation. Robin, on Monday nights, where do people find you? What's your website? That kind of stuff.
I am at robinsonlineworld.com. You can find me at robinsworld on most social media places. And then on Monday nights, myself and Tommy TRC do everyday tech talk about 8 or 9 o'clock, somewhere around there. It just depends on our schedule. Here on Blab, and we talk about anything related to using tech for the everyday person, just like you guys are doing, which is why I called in Tommy when I heard you guys talking about that everyday tech. So Tommy is here listening now as well.
That's perfect. Cool. Throw a link to those in the chat if you want, so we can all check them out.
All right, I will. Thank you very much. And so happy holidays to everybody, and go get your Philips too. They're very cool.
Thanks, awesome. Robin. Thanks for all jumping right. in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'll remind everyone, you know, she blogs for Microsoft. Brian Freelander had come in earlier. He's a Microsoft MVP for Surface. I'm a Windows MVP for Microsoft as well. And, of course, Dave McCabe, who broadcasts with us on Surface Geeks and over at homeservershow.com, is also Microsoft MVP. So, you know, we got enough Microsoft there. Hey, let's do an Apple question real quick, though. So Addie's out there, and she says, why hasn't Apple manufactured the finger scanner into the MacBooks?
Oh, man, that is a fantastic question. One that I would like them to answer for me as well. I think they will. I think that's the next big addition. You saw them slowly rolled out, and it needed to be a process where they went with the iPhone first, something you have in your hands every day, and then moving up to the iPad, which they've just introduced with the iPad. And I'm sure it'll be in the MacBook soon. It can't come soon enough, though. And I think the way it'll be done is on the MacBook. I think they'll have it on there, obviously. But then I think the next set of keyboards for the Macs will have it built in, so that for my iMac, I can also do it. But yeah, it's something, though, that on the computer, it's not as needed, because I'm, you know, once I log in, I'm pretty good. A phone is something you turn on and off all the time. So I don't think they're in a big rush to do it. But I do think within the next year, we will see that come.
Yeah, but how easy would it have been to take that iPhone reader and put it in there, you know, from a fingerprint scanning standpoint to be able to.
Well, the thing is, in the past year, they've had big enough updates to their computer line that they don't need that feature yet. And Apple has been known to hold that big feature back so that you buy the next phone. And so with the new introduction of their brand new MacBook, you know, the one with USB-C and all that sort of stuff, it was new enough. They've had enough big announcements. They haven't had to go to it yet. So I guarantee they're made. I guarantee they have it. It's ready to go. They're just waiting for that next push to throw it out there.
All right. Very cool. Yeah. Addie, hopefully that, you know, everybody who's wanting it, it's like, so I don't care. Just put it, you know, just
there
put
is,
that thing
I
in
will
there.
Suggest the an app. I'm going to totally forget the name, but I will come up with it for the show notes. There is an app that on your phone, it uses Bluetooth, and you tap your screen of whatever device you're using. Obviously, it's just using Bluetooth proximity. And if your phone is unlocked, it will unlock your computer. I used it for a long time. I want to think it's something like Bump or Tap or something like that. But look for an app like that, because that's what I use all the time. Because then you do, right? You have your thumbprint on your phone, you unlock your phone and you tap your screen and it unlocks your Mac. So very cool technology there. It's an app that you'll install both on your Mac and then on your phone as well.
All right. Very cool. We will remind people. It's hard to say. We will remind people. If you're watching us first time, or you've been watching part of the show, this is our 240th show. So you've been watching for a while. We have open seats tonight. If you want to come in, we're doing it one at a time. If you want to come in and join us in here, kind of following the Ask the Podcast Coach model. I podcast with Dave Jackson on Saturday mornings over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And we wanted to try this here for our own program. Typically, we're in a Google Plus Hangout with Chatwing is our chat provider, but I wanted to jump on Blab tonight. I've done a bunch of Blabs, so it's a whole bunch of fun out here. But if you're new to it, either way, jump in. We got an open seat for you. Mike, it's the end of the year, and you know, there's a lot of things you got to do at the end of the year when you think about your PC maintenance. And a lot of this has to do Mac or PC, you know, across the board. There are things that you got to get done. One of those things that you want to start thinking about, of course, I think this time of the year is backup. And where are you putting it, and where is it going, and have you tested it? Now, in our community, a lot of us use CrashPlan. That's kind of become a de facto, although I was just starting to look at that for next year. The renewal is up for me. It's got me thinking about it. It's $150 for as much as I use. It's $150 to back things up to the cloud. CrashPlan, Carbonite, when we think of, you know, and by the way, taking your files and just putting on an external drive. that's not a good form of backup. Most of the folks know that here. But so, Mike, what are you using from a backup perspective? How are you backing up right now?
Mine just got a lot more sophisticated with the addition of the home server, mainly because
You have a NAS.
My NAS. Yeah. My NAS, yes. So for the NAS, I need an offsite backup for my NAS, but most of my local stuff all goes to the NAS, and then that is backed up offsite. So I've kind of got that sort of process. I use Time Machine on the Mac. That just comes on the Mac. Very easy to use, but not the best way to back up your stuff. The nice part about it is you can scroll back to a different date and get something. It's pretty easy. But if you're talking about restoring a full hard drive from a backup, Time Machine's not your best option. So I use Carbon Copy Cloner, by far on the Mac, the best software for backing up. So I set that to back up on Sunday mornings at like 1 a.m. to my NAS. And then from my NAS, I've actually started to use Amazon S3, or I'm going between that and trying also Amazon Glacier. So both of those are their Amazon, their cloud offerings that you can back up. Glacier is more probably what I should be using, honestly, for long-term storage that you're not going to touch and you don't need to bring down. A little bit cheaper than S3. So I'm trying out both to see. And I honestly, the pricing is extremely complicated. If you don't know, they don't just tell you how much space you get. It's obviously transferring up and down and that sort of stuff. So I'll wait and I don't want to give it my stamp of approval yet for a home user standpoint, because I don't know how much it's going to cost me. But using that is extremely easy to use on something like a QNAP, which is the NAS I have. So for me, I back up. I got rid of Carbonite on my home computer because I don't need it anymore. Because if I'm doing my local backups to the NAS and the NAS is backed up in the cloud, I'm all set to go. So bringing the NAS into my home actually was awesome because it eliminated the need to have offsite backup for each computer and phone in my apartment. Everything backs up to the NAS and the NAS goes to the cloud. So that's what I've kind of been doing.
Okay. And Robin asked, she said, please explain more about Amazon S3 and Amazon Glacier. Never heard of either. There's a reason you haven't heard of them, because they're complicated and hard to use. And they have a crazy pricing scheme that I think most, like you said, most users don't understand. I'm not a big fan unless you really understand what you're getting into with Amazon, because a lot of people will put that stuff up there. It's not meant to be moved around and it's not meant to be accessed very often. It is cold storage. It's incredibly cheap, but you upload it. Just go to just Google Amazon S3 storage, Robin, go out there. It's not hard to do. Don't get me wrong. It's just, don't think of it as like Dropbox storage. It's not that. It's cold. No. They put it on tape. It's gone. It takes a while to get it back. If you do need it, it's slow to download. It's, this is cold storage. It's only a case it's an emergency and you need it again.
Well, and I'll tell you why I did it this way. I have it set up to back up. My NAS backs up to the cloud every 1 or 2 months is what I set it to do. I think I'm going to switch it to 2 months. And the way I do that is because offsite storage is meant for if you have a fire, a flood, something happens to your local storage. And that is, although you need to plan for it, extremely rare. So that doesn't need to happen very often. And things like Carbonite and CrashPlan are fantastic. And if you have one computer, I definitely would suggest using them because they're user-friendly, really easy to use. But they're kind of, they're hogs on your CPU and your memory. And my computer was just slowing down with Carbonite. That was the one reason I kind of wanted to get rid of it. So my thought process of backing up to a NAS and then having the NAS go every 1 to 2 months to offsite, that's why I did it that way. And Amazon was the cheapest way to do that. And it is a little bit complicated. I'll kind of admit that straight up. And it's really not meant for your home computer. It's meant for something like a NAS, a big chunk that needs to be just stored somewhere else. So that was my thought process going into that. And it saves my CPU and my memory of all of my computers. And those are just backed up. So most of the time, if something goes wrong, I'll have it on my NAS. Now, if something like a fire happens, yeah, I might lose a month or 2 months worth of data, but it's not too bad.
Yeah. Well, the best backup plan is the one that works for you. Make sure you are tested. This is one of those things you need to do. Actually, find a file that you have locally and then try to download that and find it and get it back on your cloud provider from that, and that's the test. Can you get it back? And this is a topic we talk about on Home Server Show all the time. We just talk about it more now. And so I don't want to get too deep into this. I just want to remind you it's backup time. It's Christmas time. You're getting some new gadgets and some of those kinds of things. It's time to start thinking about backups and the backup that you use, the one that you use and the one that you can get data back from is the best one for you. So think about that. There's a bunch of different ways to get it done. Just remember, moving one file from one place to another is not backup. Like if you have music and then you put it on an external drive and that's the only place it is, not backed up. If it's just in the cloud, not backed up, right? Because you don't have it in any of the locations. Ideally, for most people, a local copy on their PC that they're using often, a second copy stored somewhere else in the building in case something happens, crashes, viruses, whatever, that's separate from it, and a third copy in the cloud. That's kind of the ideal situation for everybody to get it done in bunches of different ways to do that. Just a reminder, it's time to think about your backup. And of course, we talk about it a lot here. So if you're new to the show, we got a lot of topics about it out there. I'd love to help you get that done. A couple Black Friday deals and a couple deals that are going on right now that I just want to make you aware of. Some things, especially on the Windows side. When we think about antivirus, we talked about some of that in a show with Kevin Schoonover a month or two ago. But you might want to start looking, depending on what you use, you might want to start looking. Some of these, like Bitdefender, ran a $20 3PC deal during Black Friday. And I was able to pick up my antivirus and a really good antivirus, $20, three PCs. I was also able to pick up, no, I'm sorry, it was $18, three PCs. Acronis, which I use for local backup sometimes, and they got a whole bunch of tools every year. You know, they do the license model. I found a deal for $20 that got me an upgrade plus an additional license this year. So, you know, watch your email, watch those things. I got that alert via email. And you might want to, you know, look for some of those things. So if there's software that you're using, that Malwarebytes is another one that we use on the Windows side all the time. They're running some deals, three PCs, $25. And I think I got that at Newegg. But again, that came via I subscribe. This is the season you actually want to read your email, because you're getting Black Friday deals in there. And by the way, they'll run all the way through Christmas. And sometimes they run them the first of the year. So this might be the time. Mike, have you taken advantage of any of those items that you were going to buy anyways, but you're going to buy them on Black Friday because it's just the cheapest time of the year to do it?
No. We do some Christmas shopping online at those times, but the best way to save money is to not buy anything. So for me, I'm just not going to buy anything.
Well, yeah, you do buy some things, but
I do. Oh, I definitely do. And you'll see on your Amazon link that there are some definitely things that I probably didn't need, but no, I don't go strictly to those few days or those few weeks. All right. But I do follow the emails. I definitely do.
You might just want to watch it. Stacy wants to join us, so let's let her pop in. I think Stacy would be new to the show. Oh, she was there and now she's gone. Stacy, jump back in again. It is, you know, everybody talks about how easy it is to get in Blab, but I think it's easy to watch. It's not always easy to connect.
Well, the problem is the first time you get in, you have to set your camera settings. And if they're wrong at all, you've got to get back reload.
That's
so
true.
If it's your first time or if you're changing settings.
So another question, Mike, Gord jumps in and says, what do you recommend for long time or long-term storage, family photos and such? Any thoughts?
This is kind of what we talked about. I have a backup that happens all the time on my computer. Anytime I change a file, it's backing up to my NAS, and that's sitting there. My NAS has a lot of storage, so all of our photos are stored there. And then, like I said, for beyond that, I use S3, but I did use Carbonite for a while. I also subscribe, though. I think it works well is if you're on Apple products, is the iCloud storage. So all of my photos are backed up via iCloud. I bought 200 gigs for, I think $4 a month or something like that, $3 a month, which isn't bad. And so it's just an extra form of backup. But as far as storage goes, I love NAS units. I'm a convert. I had them on an external hard drive. You're much more likely to run into problems with those breaking on you, running out, wearing out over time, compared to red WD drives and a NAS. So I don't know, Jim, you're the backup guy though. I'm kind of new to this whole thing. And Mike in the chat room pointed out my system is flawed. So I need some training. I need to go watch Home Server Show.
Getting called out by the chat. Yeah. By the way, homeservershow.com. If you're new to our community, homeservershow.com. We talk a lot about this, but four things that I can think of just right off the bat. One, Amazon offers, if you can download their app, they offer unlimited photo storage right now. So Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you're a Prime member, you have unlimited photo storage. It'd be a great way to do it there. I think the app on your phone will automatically do that. And then if you think of like Dropbox, MediaFire, OneDrive, or Google, their new Google Picture offering, whatever that is, I forget, they renamed it something. But you can download those apps on your phone, Android or iPhone, and have those automatically moved up to those. And I actually do two different ones. I go to both the Google site and I go to OneDrive. In the Google one, I just never mess with. Those are just out there. I don't ever mess with them. They're there in case I need them. That's my emergency place. And then the OneDrive is where I go when I want to change them and download them and, you know, do those kinds of things. But lots of great opportunities for you to move your pictures off your phone. Not physically, but I mean, copy them. Just realize the more you sign up for, the more that stuff's going to be uploading, you know, on your phone, right? Every time you take a picture, it's going to update and upload. So I like if for photos, since you want to get to them, those are something I would avoid the S3 kind of stuff unless you're just going to put them there and forget about them. I think there's enough cloud offerings that you can go to where you have one where you can put them all. Keep them there fairly inexpensive and just never mess with them. And they're always there. So Stacey, instead of coming in, she's going to ask the question, where do you set the camera settings on the Mac, Mike?
Yeah, and I thought she meant like what's a good app for setting camera settings. Good, and so I sent her a link to one, which is webcam settings. So we'll just mention that. But secondly, on the Mac in Blab, I didn't have luck in Safari. I had to switch to Chrome. So if you're trying Safari, try Chrome. And it's in the address bar where you would type in an address on the far right. Once you're in Blab, you'll see the camera. You can click there and choose your mic and camera.
Yeah, you'll see the camera icon up there. So do that. Stacey, join us here in a second. Gord asked another question, and he says, we're talking about pictures. Is it going to be reliable? Well, that's the $64 million question when we think about using cloud storage. Is it? Things change all the time. And this is where one of those things you got to kind of stay up on it. Over to KnowItGuy, KnowItGuy, KnowItGuy.com. I have a cloud storage guide that's out there. I haven't updated it in a while, but it lists all those cloud storage offerings that are out there. And, you know, sometimes they close down. And so you got to kind of pay attention. Certainly the ones from Google and Amazon and Microsoft are probably going to be around a while. And so those are going to be good offerings. But with anything, you got to hedge your bets. Okay, let's see if we can get Stacey in here. See if we get her camera settings right. This is always the challenge, like I said, on Blab. This is always kind of the challenge.
Dave, but you can't even do it in Google Hangouts. So this is fantastic that we can bring in guests.
True. No,
love it.
True. So Stacey, we're not seeing you yet. Check those camera settings.
And if you changed your settings, if you changed them or if you set them for the first time, you have to close out or just refresh the page and then try it again.
That's true.
For those to take effect, you have to refresh.
Refresh your browser. The other thing is make sure Skype's not open. So that's another thing. All right, here she comes. We'll try it. We will try it again. Stacey, hopefully. Yep, I think we're going to be good. Hey, there Stacey, you made it. Woohoo! Awesome. Welcome to Home Gadget Geeks. How can we help you?
Awesome. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much. You have no idea. I'm extremely technical. I have been for over 30 years, believe it or not. But I actually did not see the camera up in the window. And for several weeks, I installed ManyCam because I really want to be able to do presentations on Blab, have virtual windows. I also downloaded CamTwist, and I kept getting a CamTwist screen up. I didn't know what to do. So I'm amazed that you helped me in moments just in time for my Blab that I scheduled for tomorrow morning.
Good.
So no problem. Glad.
Thank you so much. Good. That's awesome.
Stacey, one of the things before you go on, one of the things Blab announced tonight is they're bringing a SlideShare and YouTube videos to Blab in the next, they didn't say a time. I'm going to say in the next 30 days or so. So that would make it a lot. I know ManyCam, you know, people have been trying to use that on Blab, and I know they've had varying success on it. You might want to kind of keep an eye on the Blab blog because they may be making some announcements. They showed it off tonight, so it's working. Really?
Is it on their blog? Can I go see the details there?
You might want to. Yeah, blab.blog.com or whatever. It's probably blog.blab.com. But yeah, head out to their blog, take a peek. If it's not there today, it'll probably be there tomorrow. But they just announced that tonight in a kind of a global Blab hangout.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that, very much so. So you guys are doing a great job here. There's so many things I could actually ask you about or discuss. Now, it's so funny, I was Blab hopping. Was there someone on here a little while ago talking about the Live Scribe pen? Was that on this Blab?
Yeah, that was here.
So I'm a huge fan of theirs. I've been using a LifeScribe pen for, I want to say, almost 10 years. And it's funny because the first one I had was, I believe, the Pulse was the first one. Then I had an Echo. Then I had the Sky. And now I have the newest one, which is the 3. And I actually don't like it as much because even though it works with your iPad, with your iPad, depending on which one you have, or your iPhone and even your Android, it doesn't record the audio in the pen. And I really liked it when it recorded the audio directly in the pen because sometimes your phone doesn't work. It's just not. And actually, it's a lot more private. People don't have to know what you're doing when it recorded it directly on the pen. So I actually am going to go back and get another one, an older. I want one of the older models because I think it works a lot better. But it's a great tool. Did they say, Mike, are you the one that's in law school?
Yeah, I am.
So it's a great tool to use for recording audio when you're listening to lectures. And the fantastic thing is that when you write with it, it records the audio. And as it replays it for you, you actually see what you were writing at the time you're listening. So if you miss something, when you review, and it's just an awesome way to review and actually help yourself to memorize things that you need to memorize. So it's a fantastic tool. The one that I wanted to ask you guys about was actually, I just got Alexa, and I can't say it too loud because if I say it too loud, of course she's going to respond.
We call her Lexi when we're talking about her.
Oh, cool. So that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. So I was just wondering if you guys had any tips, any suggestions, anything fun or useful you can tell me, any hacks for working with Lexi.
I'll let you start with that, Mike.
Okay. Well, first of all, I use it all the time for, I'll just tell you what I use it for is, my lights, all of my lighting. So I have the Hue lights and I also have a Wemo switches, meaning the switches you plug into the wall and then you plug something into that and you can actually tell her. So I name them. So my Christmas tree right now is plugged into a Wemo switch and I tell Alexa, hey, turn on the Christmas tree. And she does it, which is really cool. Some other things that they just released not too long ago was that you can use any IFTTT a formula, right. You tell Alexa trigger blank. And so really you can, I haven't even dove into that, but the possibilities are endless there. And then while I'm cooking timers and stuff like that, and take the remote to wherever you can't use Alexa. So that's why I took the remote to the bedroom because she can't hear us from there, but we can still turn on and off the lights. We can ask her, we can have her do stuff with the remote. So it's kind of nice. That remote is kind of nice to use. Oh, yours didn't come with it?
No, it's extra charge now. So it's.
Is it really? Okay. See, Jim and I got it in the beta and we got the remote. So can you use the app? That's a good question.
I can use the app from anywhere. So I can, which is kind of cool. So if my husband's downstairs, I can use the app and turn the music on and all of a sudden the music's on or the news report. So you can do it even from home, from away from home. You can actually use, I believe you can do it from away from home. I haven't tried that yet. Yeah.
Stacey, yeah. We rigged up, we have a podcast, and I forget the number. If you just go to theaverageguy.tv and search for Alexa, we actually wired her up for a podcast. And so we brought her in, I put her in another room, and we put headphones on her and a microphone. And we were asking her questions live during the program. With some success, was it perfect? She didn't answer correctly every time in what we were doing. So, but I would love to make that technology, whether it be Alexa or Cortana or Siri, I'd love to make that a part of a podcast. When we get in a situation here, when we say, you know, when we have a question, we could just ask her and she would pop right in. I also have a Know It Guy. I'll drop the link in the chat here. If you go to knowitguy.com, I have an Amazon Echo Know It guide that has every single email that's come out from Amazon about all the features that are available. So if you missed any of them, they're all recorded out there to be able to get, you know, to be able to kind of catch up. I use it. I use the morning briefing or I call it the morning briefing, but I just say, you know, Alexa play a flash briefing.
Right.
And so I listen to NPR News. I get sports scores through that. There's now a new sports briefing that you can get. And I think there's 5 different kinds of briefings that you can get preset on that. You set those on your apps. We use the lists that, you know, you can create shopping lists. There needs to be one like what to do for gym list. That'd be the ultimate kind of list on that. Tony Rayner says how many you can ask how many days till an event, right? So how many days till Christmas? You can right. Tell Me a Joke was the one that the kids love to do that. We had all kinds of fun when that first came out, Mike.
And I won't take credit for it because I didn't think of this, but one thing I just set up was now that she can trigger anything on IFTTT, how many times are you sitting there and you can't find your phone? It's in the cushion or something. So I set up the one of Alexa, find my phone, and she calls it and my phone rings. So one more thing, if you can just have her kind of find stuff. So with IFTTT, just one more example, it's kind of cool. And that one was kind of fun. I tried it out and sure enough, my phone rang and it was deep in the cushion. So
that's nice. Awesome. So yeah. Let me ask you this. If I'm not mistaken, it uses Bing as a search engine.
I think so. I'm not
finding it does very well with searches. So tonight I asked her to tell me what the age range is for the phrase for millennials. I wanted to know what that age range is. She couldn't tell me that. She did know what baby boomers were, that they were born in the 50s. But she could. I asked her about Gen X and millennials, and she couldn't find that.
So when you asked the question, what are millennials? Did you ask it in that way? And did she?
Well, I think I did. And she said millennials has to do with anything with a century. So she didn't understand it as a phrase.
Yeah.
Because it's a new phrase.
I think that's the opportunity we have with voice recognition still, that, you know, we're still maybe 10 years away from flawless. I mean, the fact that it works as good as it does is amazing, right?
It's awesome.
But yeah. I think there's still some opportunities. I am with you. There's lots of natural language queries I throw at her. Not a clue. I get the, yeah, no, I don't know how to handle your request. And so I think they've got some opportunities there to make that better. I find Siri, and I think Mike, you'd agree, I find Siri a little better at that when you're doing natural language querying. It's probably the best at that. And then on Windows, I find Cortana in Windows 10 very helpful to run Windows. Like, so if you want to invoke anything on Windows, you fire up Cortana and just say, open this application for me. And there's tons of things that Cortana will do on the Windows side. But I agree with you, the search, the recognition on natural language queries isn't always the best.
Right. Since you're talking about assistive devices that way, let me ask you a question. I have an Android. I just got the Note 5. And I find that I can't get the OK Google to come up if I don't have the Google widget on the screen I'm looking at. Does anyone know any hacks for making sure that you can get Google to come up the way Siri does no matter what on the phone?
I wouldn't know. We're both iPhone users. We'll throw that one out to the chat. So, Stacy, watch awesome. The chat room. Let's see if we can get a link for you here.
Got it.
We got some good Android users out there in the chat room. That's the beauty of the chat. So, Stacy, do you blog, podcast, or blab anywhere? Do you have any?
Well, yes, I am blabbing. As I said, my actual first one that I'm going to do on my own is scheduled for tomorrow morning. And so tomorrow morning, if anyone wants to find me, I am the Maximizer.
Cool. That's actually a Gallup strength. We have one of the strengths, or one of the themes we have, is Maximizer. What time zone, if someone wanted to do that?
I'm an Eastern Standard, 8 a.m. And I'm a business advisor and consultant, and I help people to create strategies and systems to run their businesses more effectively. So we're going to be looking at how you can really start to maximize your 2016 by looking at what you're doing for the new year, but really what you're doing now to get started and to look at your business in a different, from a different perspective.
Awesome. And the trick would be, if you want to follow that easily, follow Stacy right now before she goes away. So click on that button. I just did that. Follow her. And then tomorrow you'll get an alert notification saying she's gone live. So Stacy, thanks for jumping in. Some great questions. Appreciate you.
Awesome.
Having
Thank you so no, much.
Great to meet
Happy
you.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, you too. You too.
Great. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Ryan, the food craftsman, asked this question. Can you change the search engine that the Echo uses? No.
Nope.
I don't think you can. Not at the moment.
You cannot.
That is a walled garden. And it's surprising that it's Bing, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's a little surprising that they didn't go with Google.
But, I mean, to be perfectly honest, there's nothing bad about Bing or Google. They're actually both very good. It's not Bing's fault.
I think
That's what I was going to mention when she was talking about that. That's a limitation on the Echo and, you know, the voice recognition and her being able to know what to do with what you're asking her. Bing would find the answer just as good as Google would. It's just getting that to Bing is the problem.
Yeah. And then he also asked the question, do you think I would enjoy the Echo? Yes. Everybody.
This is the one time I agree with Oprah. Well, no, I agree with Oprah a lot, but this is not just one of those things that she's trying to like promote. It's honestly one of those things on her list that everyone should have. It is, I tell you, it's just the way your house needs to run. It's the way everything needs to happen. It is. It's the future. It's the
future for sure. And it's just a glimpse into it. And it's a great, they got the design right. This is the important
yes.
thing. I think they got the design right. Now the functionality will come with updates and it'll get better as we have it. But
and for nothing else, the using it as a speaker, like you said, the design of that thing and how great the speaker is and how good it sounds. That's the one speaker we need anymore in our tiny living room. Again, we're not audio people. We don't need, I mean, if you had huge speakers, that's one thing. But if you're looking for just a way to get music into your home, the design, like you were saying, is amazing.
Yeah. So we have the integration in with the lights. And I don't know if it's integrated. I don't think it is with Sonos yet, but when we get that integrated into the sound system in the house too, for those folks that have the premium audio sound, and you could use Alexa to kind of control the, you know, the whole piece of it. And I would imagine eventually there'll be an app, and I need to dig in a little bit more on this, but is listening on my phone so that I could just call Alexa out from my phone and treat it like a Siri or treat it like it's
right.
It's not right that Google hasn't named their search, right? They need to.
Yeah, it just can't be called Google.
Striving.
But okay, the one thing I was thinking was they will in the future, I'm guessing, pair with Spotify, right? You know, Spotify is the one music service that's really missing from them. That's a huge user base. And the one thing that I love about Spotify is I have a Spotify app on my phone, on my laptop, on whatever. And the app knows where your music is playing from. So for example, if I'm listening to music on my Mac and I get on my phone and open the Spotify app, I can change the song that's playing on my computer. So technically, if we could get Spotify hooked up and Spotify knows what device I'm listening on, if I'm listening on something that's plugged into huge house speakers and I tell Alexa to change the song on Spotify, Spotify already has that built in where it can change the song. Hannah and I have dueling Spotify. She'll be driving in her car. She'll be going to work and I'll change the song in her car from home. I mean, it does it from anywhere. So that feature is already built in. So my guess is that when Spotify comes, that'll be a huge kind of step up for their music program if they want to pair with them though, because obviously they want the Prime Music to take off. So
I just don't see Prime Music being long-term.
Well, the one thing I want, can I just say real quick, is I want little tiny wireless speakers that you can stick anywhere in your home and they all connect to Alexa.
Yeah.
Because that I know you could buy more than one Alexa, but if you could just have little tiny microphones all over your house, have a bugged house that's always listening, now that would be cool.
Yeah. No, for sure. And we have a great chat room. I think Tony found the answer to that question about triggering that on a Galaxy Note 5. So, Stacy, have a peek at that, the link that's in the chat room. And a good reason why to come out live. It's hard for me to get all of this interaction in the show notes going forward. Stacy does say she just wished that it was rechargeable and didn't have to be plugged in.
That's a great point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Or what might be interesting is a charging base that you put it on and then you could take it off. Say you wanted to, there would be some applications I might want to bring it down. I'm going to be down in the basement for the day or for the morning. And I might want to bring it with me, take it off the base, carry it down, set it down on the desk really close. And then when I'm done, I could take it back up, set it up on the recharging base. That'd be good. Yeah, I imagine maybe that'll come at some point. Yeah. You know, if the.
Jim is gone. So I'll vamp a little bit.
I clicked the wrong X.
I was really worried what I was going to do, Jim. This is the first time that ever happened.
That's so funny. I clicked. I was like,
I was ready to take over.
I was trying to close this one and I closed my own. That's hilarious. Anyways, if you're new or if you've been listening to us forever, we are taking your questions and I'd like you to call in when I'm here. I mean, obviously I don't know which box to check when it comes in, but if you'd like to either drop your questions in the chat or you can just jump in here. And we've had quite a few, Robin and Stacy and Brian before that. If you want to jump in and chat with us, you can do that as well. Sorry for disappearing there. When we went away, I want to read a couple in our Facebook group, very active Facebook group, a lot of helpful conversation that goes on there during the week when we can't be podcasting, asking your questions. That's at facebook.com/group/theaverageguy. And two Dons this week, chimed in on the Facebook group, Don Catlett asked this. He says, I have a desk full of Western Digital external hard drives. I've been looking for a way to connect them together, allowing me to only have one cable running to a PC. Can anyone tell me if I can pull the hard drives out and put them in a MediaSonic? And there's a whole long serial number I'm not going to read. MediaSonic is kind of a hard drive enclosure that allows you to take those drives. I would prefer not to have to buy new hard drives. And we talked through this a little bit on the page, but an interesting conversation nonetheless. If his question is, can I pull the drives out and put those in other devices? You could, if you want. I mean, you could just get a USB port and plug them in natively, but that's using USB, and that's not always a great way. If you want to raid them together or do some other things with them, you can't. Most of those external drives, and most is I'm guessing, but a lot of those external drives, you can peel the cover off. Oftentimes, the screws are hidden underneath the little feet. There's little feet that they put on these things so it won't slide around on you. You peel those back, and there's screws underneath them. Unscrew it, and the case will come apart. In a lot of cases, they're just using kind of standard hard drives inside those. Those are 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 terabyte hard drives that are in there. And you can read those drives. And my recommendation to Don and the group was to just check on YouTube, actually put your model number in YouTube. And if somebody's done it before, chances are they recorded it, and you might be able to watch them get those things apart. And he had 4 or 5 different ones. That would be my recommendation. Check. Not all drives will, you know, like you won't be able to take them apart, separate them from the board, and then put and then have your data still work. So because you might have to reformat those into a different, into a different format for them to work. So absolutely back up that data that's on those drives before you go pulling this thing apart. There's no guarantee once you pull it apart that that data is still going to be there. But yeah, that's actually a really easy average guy. I've harvested drives out of external cases before. They don't use, it's not a different hard drive. Why would they do that? That doesn't make any financial sense. They're just taking drives. There's been some speculation that those drives that go in those external cases are actually subpar, substandard drives. There's been some rumors or some, we've talked about that here on the show before. But so that's, those are the kind of questions we get in our Facebook group. Mike, would you add anything to that?
No, that was perfect.
Wow. Bam. Hit it like that. Then Dodd Totten, I think I'm pronouncing that right, T-O-T-T-E-N. Actually, both of these guys, fairly new to our group. So Don and Don, we want to welcome you to the Facebook group. Always nice to have new questions out there as well. He said, in case this helps anyone, finally took the plunge and updated my Toshiba laptop to Windows 10 from 8.1. Took about 5.5 hours to download and another 1.5 hours for installation. Neither the Wi-Fi or the Ethernet ports would come up. Hours of reboots and Googling, thanks to his MacBook. Yeah, so, Mike, you can MacBook came to the rescue.
Yeah, my suggestion on doing any work with a Windows machine is always have your Mac to the side because you'll need it.
Nicely done.
The way to back up a Windows is to have a Mac.
Nicely done. So they looked it up, indicated that there was a common problem for these particular Toshiba laptops, and it's not just these Toshiba laptops, by the way. And to uninstall and reinstall the drivers as a final, you know, kind of a final stab. Power cycled and whoosh, the ports came up okay, and I didn't need the driver to reinstall. A few other nuisance glitches that were more easily solved. Let me just say this with Windows 10. It's a chore. It is a chore to get Windows 10 upgraded. And the upgrade process itself is not, right now, is not particularly clean. And it's really bad with the drivers. And we've been recommending for a while, if you're going to upgrade to Windows 10, don't. Not right now. I would actually wait until after the first of the year. I think there's some stability coming with Threshold 2 that still has to get some things worked out. The other recommendation we threw out there on Facebook is don't do the upgrade. Actually do a fresh, clean install. The ISO you can get now for Windows 10 supports the using the keys for both Windows 7 and Windows 8.1. And so you can run the install, put those keys in. It's supposed to recognize it at that point. By the way, back up before you do anything along these lines. Make sure your data is backed up. But you can use those keys now and do a fresh install of Windows 10. And it's going to load all those drivers fresh. And you won't have any of those update problems that come with the upgrade. But just hold off. Trust me. Take my advice. You don't need to go to Windows 10 right now. It's going to be free until July 28th. You don't have to do it right now. Wait till after the first of the year and enjoy Christmas. So again, Don, thanks for dropping that in there. Mike, you tried to upgrade you tried to upgrade a Windows 10 unit that couldn't be upgraded, and that was kind of messy, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, that didn't go well, and that was my first experience with really Windows, so I didn't even know how to restore it. It was, but you know, you must have confidence in me. This makes me feel really good that you're not suggesting Windows 10 for everyone else, but for a Mac guy, you'll give me a machine.
Well, if it's already on there. Oh, if it's already on there, it's fine.
The upgrade process by itself is the problem.
It is. And it's causing a lot of stumbles. Now,
I've loved it so far, to be honest. It's been great.
And let me be honest, Mike Howard in the chat room, he says, really? None of my machines, I've upgraded six of them without any issues. Yeah, that happens. Right? That actually happens a lot. There's a lot of upgrades without problems. There's also a lot of upgrades with problems. And it's just the holiday season, and I just don't think you need to do it right now. That's one of those things. Just wait. There is no good reason for most people. There's nothing new in Windows 10 that isn't already in Windows 7 or Windows 8 for the most part. And that's not a true statement in a lot of situations, but everybody's itching to get to Windows 10. I just be like, just hold off. Just get through the holidays. Let's just get to maybe January, February. And that would be my, now if you've done it already, well, and it's worked great. Hey, good for you. I've done it two or three times. I did it with my Surface, and actually I didn't like it so much. I blew it away and reinstalled from scratch to get that Windows 10 experience. And it's been a lot better with the drivers. So the recommendation is to wait for Windows 10. Anything from the chat room there? I haven't been able to keep up. What's going on out there?
Well, you know, Lopta, I'm sure there was humor put in it, but he had the best line. I've never liked Lopta more than right now. He said, I upgraded my wife's Windows PC by unplugging it and never using it again, and buying her a Mac Mini. Yes, I understand, Lopta. There's probably some humor in that, but I've never loved you more than right now. So I had that typed out, but now I said it, so I'm going to delete my typing. So there's no record of it.
Yeah, well, it's great. One of my favorite things about having you on the program is we've got the Mac side, the Mac point of view. And it really is a Mac and PC world now. And those a lot of people have both, which is crazy, you know, to think about. And, you know, I gave you this Kangaroo, this Windows 10 Kangaroo mini PC that you've now. So you've had it 2 weeks, I think, now, because we talked about it last week. What do you think? What's your experience with Windows after 2 weeks?
Well, I'm pretty upset with you, Jim, because I really enjoyed being able to just hate Windows without having any reason to hate Windows. And now I can't do that. Now I got to say, oh, actually, I like it. Or now I've got to lie. I didn't have to lie before. I hated it because I never used it. And now I've got to say it's pretty good. I even came out of my office the other day, told Hannah, hey, if we ever need another computer, I'm okay if it's Windows because Jim's got me using this one. It's actually going pretty well. But as far as the Kangaroo goes, I'm still using it as my daily driver for most things. There's some law school stuff that I just have on my computer. I just need to do it as quickly as I can. So I did it on my Mac. But other than that, it's still been fantastic. I've used it for everything. And it's the same stuff I said the other week. There hasn't been really anything new except for the fact when you started to mention Cortana, I do have my ATR wired into there most of the time because I use Cortana with the ATR and it's awesome. I love Cortana. Now I want the Mac to have I wish we had Siri on there. You know, I get so used to having Siri on an iPad or an iPhone, but man, having that sort of thing on a desktop PC is really cool. And especially for a guy who doesn't know his way around Windows. I've already messaged you a few times asking you where stuff is. And now, ever since I found that out, and since, because the Kangaroo does not have a microphone on it, so I had to USB my thing into it. I'm like, hey, that might work. And I just ask her and she finds it. I'm like, hey, where is settings for blank? And she usually can find them. And that was something you had suggested to me. And I used that and it's been awesome. It's been great.
Yeah, Cortana's dynamite for finding stuff in Windows 10.
Yeah.
It's and so the for best a new Windows 10 help. It's like it's the old great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it really
it's
is
like the old clip guy. Yeah.
And except way better from that standpoint. And so at work now, I've gotten into the habit. Somebody asked a question. I just open Chrome and go, you know, click the microphone button and you just say the query and it gets it right most of the time. I mean, we are so close to just not, you know, just the old Star Trek of just saying computer. And then,
that's what I'm wondering. When is it going to be socially acceptable to in the office?
I think it's close. Talking
to your devices.
I do it all the time.
Okay.
I do it. We're just the other day.
You have an office, right? Yeah. I'm still in the cubicle bank. I was in the open. Employees. Oh, really?
I was in our atrium and somebody was talking about something. And they're like, when is this something? And I said, I don't know. So I just opened up Chrome and hit the microphone and boom, just say it.
I would love to dictate to my machine. If I wasn't in a cubicle where everyone else would be really annoyed with me, I can dictate way faster than I can type, and I can do multiple things at once while I'm dictating. I can be reading through the contract, be dictating what I want instead of, you know, being all tied up. So even just dictation is something I wish I could do. But yeah, I think we're getting closer and closer, like you said, to that being normal.
Dictation still have a ways to go to be accurate. I mean, it's terrible when it listens to voicemail messages, and we've got some way to go. But understanding the question is getting better. And right, I think once that gets better, the dictation will just come. So yeah. Pretty good. Stacy asks one more question. She says, I have a Windows XP running on my virtual Parallels virtual machine. How can I upgrade to Windows 8 or Windows 10 for free? And you can't. The Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 are the only two operating systems that Microsoft is allowing to come forward. XP would have been upgraded to Windows 7 in its day, and there was actually some really cheap ways to do that back in those days. So, Stacy, I hate to say you're out of luck from that point. If you can, find an upgrade, a Windows 7 upgrade option. You might be able to find that on eBay, where somebody will sell you the disks to be able to do a Windows 7 upgrade. You could take that XP instance, get it to Windows 7 first, then upgrade it all the way to Windows 10. That would be a way to do it. You're not going to find that in retail stores that Microsoft has long stopped selling that. You're going to kind of have to find that on the secondary market. That would be a trip, though, to go all the way from XP to Windows 10. That's 15, 20 years, 15, something like that in between those two operating systems. So, or you could just be in the Mac info and be told when you're going to update and be given no choices at all, right?
I mean, well, you'd be surprised. The one problem I ran into is people being so far behind, they don't have the App Store. So they can't upgrade to the newest one. Even though they've been free forever, they need to go get a disk from somewhere and get the latest version so you have the App Store to update. That was the problem we ran into.
For sure. All right, we're trying a new segment, and then we're going to cut out of here, called Mike's Minis. I like that. This is Mike's Minis, a couple statements. Mike, a cheap utility light for any podcaster?
Yeah, you can find these at your local Lowe's. It's the clip light with the aluminum base, and you can screw in any lamp here. I actually replaced the one I'm using right now with a LED. Just get a simple diffuser. I had actually the reason I use these as like uplighting most of the time or to fill in a background, but because I had huge studio lights, but they got super hot, which I didn't like. So I took the diffuser off the studio lights, wrapped it around the front of this, and I clipped it to anything. You can clip it to absolutely anything. I have an old stand that I just clip it to, and it works. So these are like $15, I think, and you've got a studio light that works.
There are some inexpensive lights on Amazon, Cowboy Studio, right, 75 or so, 65, 70, get you three lights. So just a smidge more than that. But if you're in a bind and you need some lighting, every podcaster needs some lighting.
Right. That's what I liked about these. You can go grab them for $15 at Home Depot and you're good. And if you stop using them for your production, you can always, like I said, they're great for uplighting to fill in a background if it's a little dark, especially if you're green screening and you don't have good light or you're having shadows. When I used to green screen on my podcast, I needed that uplight so that the shadows didn't mess with it. So that's my first thing.
You talked about this a little bit earlier, but Wemo for Christmas lights, but for gutter warmers?
Gutter warmers, yeah. This was actually a really cool idea I got from someone else. They, in their outdoor system, they live in some place where it gets really cold, like Minneapolis, some of that. But you could use this anywhere the weather freezes. So he has these strips that get really hot, and then you line them in your gutters, and he plugged them into a Wemo, first of all, because he can monitor how much he's using through the Wemo. The Wemo tells you how much electricity it's using, so he can monitor that. Second of all, instead of having it turn on and off all the time and have him having to worry about that, he did an if this, then that for, hey, if it's below freezing, turn this on. If it's not below freezing, keep them off. And it was perfect. Saved him. He said, because those things cost a lot to heat up the gutter. Obviously, those are very high cost for usage. So with if this, then that and Wemo, he was able to use that. So yeah, the Wemo switches is what I'm talking about, not the lights, the actual switch.
Do I need a Wemo bridge or whatever they
you
call
don't.
Those? Okay.
Nope. So I just bought one switch. It was $20-something, plugged it in and plugged my Christmas lights into it. And that's how I use it with Alexa.
Put those strips on the outside of your gutters, not on the inside from that point. Let it heat through the gutter and then let it drain. Yeah.
Right.
From that standpoint. Tight VNC for Windows 10, home without RDP.
So when I got my machine up and running, I went in to go to RDP to it like I would normally, like I do to my work PC. And I didn't realize, didn't know that with the home version, you don't get that. So the next best option besides TeamViewer, which I did install TeamViewer, it worked fine, but it was a little laggy for a home connection. You know, I'm wired into this thing. I'm at home. It shouldn't be that laggy. So TypeVNC, you can put that on your Windows machine and then you can VNC to it just like you would any other machine. So on my Mac, I just typed in the address with VNC and it works perfectly. No lag, nothing, works great. Love it.
I recommended TeamViewer to you. That's also free. You know, TeamViewer 10, I haven't tried the 11 beta yet, but TeamViewer 10 still a little laggy
at times. That was my complaint with it.
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, it does a lot of stuff, and they say in the beta, in the 11 beta. By the way, open beta right now if you want to try it out, teamviewer.com. But it's just a little, it's still a little laggy for me when I'm trying to come in from work to home to get things going. It gets me in a pinch, but it doesn't always get me. It's not like I'm going to have desktop productivity with TeamViewer.
With TypeVNC, it's like you're on it. It's perfect. So with TeamViewer, that's just what I was going to say. It has its use. It's when I need to fix grandma's computer, mom's computer, and stuff like that. But especially if you are on your same connection, or for me, when I'm at school, I VPN into my home, and then I VNC still to it, and it works much better than TeamViewer does. So TypeVNC is free, simple to use. It's perfect.
Love awesome. It. And this is why we have a chat room. Ken says that TeamViewer 11 is final now.
Oh,
and
nice.
So if you want to go out there and grab that. Ken, is it any faster? And that's an unfair question to ask in the chat. But and then Spotify year in music.
Yeah, this is just a fun one. If you're a Spotify user and you kind of want to see what you did in the last year on Spotify, we'll throw the link. I can actually throw it in down in the chat room right now, but we'll have it in the show notes. You can go to this site, and it's Spotify. It's no one else. And you log in, and it gives you all your stats for the last year. How many different artists you listen to? Who is your top person you listen to? My favorite one, my co-host and I used as a metric, was how many minutes you used and listened to Spotify. I was at 7,000. My co-host Colin was at 45,000 minutes for the last year, which is 31 days of listening to Spotify. So he's he's a pro user on Spotify. And so it's just kind of a fun little recap. I enjoy looking and seeing what I listen to. It was kind of fun. Like, oh man, how many different artists have I listened to? Like over 1,000. It was kind of impressive to me that I was kind of diversified more than I thought on Spotify, which is kind of fun.
That is cool. And then Tony reminds us Groove Music, which is Microsoft's offering for music, is $50 for 12 months tomorrow at the Microsoft store. So if you're interested in doing that, if you're listening to the recorded version of this, chances are that has come and gone. Cool. And then go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and speaking of watching your emails, one I did go with was Spotify Family Now. You can add however many family members you want onto your account. The problem Hannah and I run into is we were using one premium account. And like I told you, we played Battle of Spotify, where one person can only listen at a time. So the new family pricing is actually pretty affordable. And they'll keep you at $10 a month for the first 3 months. And then they'll up you after that. But even after that, really affordable. I added Hannah in, and I also added my sister in as a Christmas present. I said, hey, you can just be on our family account, have your own thing. And it's actually pretty affordable when you think about it, when you do the breakdown of the price.
No, good to know. Lots of offerings out there. Ken reminds us that he did say TeamViewer 11 is more efficient, seems faster and lighter. TeamViewer, one of the amazing things about TeamViewer is you can control anything from anywhere with anything. So Android to PC, PC to Android, PC back to the iPhone to your servers.
The iPhone works way better than I thought it would. I used that one time. It's great.
If it's a computer of any kind with an operating system, chances are the TeamViewer guys have built some kind of connector to it. So that'll wrap up Mike's Minis. And then, of course, this is our new music for Mike's Minis.
And his name is Mike Wieger.
I love it. Love to be able to play the music. So apparently a meme that is going on right now around the internet. So
if you missed the link in the chat, I'm sorry, but you can just go search for it. John Cena on YouTube. There's a whole Vine compilation of people who use it.
Very cool, Mike's Minis. Well, Mike, we made it through a whole show on Blab. What do you think?
And then some.
Yeah, do you think?
I love it. I didn't know if you wanted me to tell you this now or in private, but man, this is awesome.
No.
I like being able to bring in the community. I mean, look at that. And the people that joined were, two of them of the three. I think we have three people on. Two of the three were new users or new viewers who had never viewed
new before. New listeners.
Yeah. So a huge thank you to them for coming out, finding us, and actually hopping on. That's the fun of Blab, is that there's people out there looking for stuff to watch and looking to contribute, and they can, which is really cool. So I loved having those people on. They were great. And I love Blab.
Yeah. Well, if you're new to
I'm coming back to video on open mic night, actually, after, you know, we had this whole scheduling thing. So we're going back to video now that we can schedule wise. And I think I'm going to come to Blab. I think it's going to be what we use.
It's super easy. I'm not going to lie. I am not. Well, I don't know. This was kind of fun tonight. Maybe this will work in the format. I mean, we took way more callers.
Not when we have a full-time guest, I don't think. No, it's great for this type of show where it's you and I, and we're doing the type of show where we want some guests that aren't scheduled.
Yeah, but we could lock the seat.
I guess we could.
You can lock the seat like that, and that changes the whole, you know, call-in option. To be honest, I did not expect to get as good of callers in.
No, they were great.
In tonight. We just super good quality, asking great questions, really adding to the content of what we're trying to do. So for those of you who called in, Stacy and Robin and Brian, thanks for jumping in the blab. I guess we should say they blabbed in on that. Thanks for blabbing in with us and the content. If the first time you've seen Home Gadget Geeks, we're on show 240. We've been doing this a while. Hasn't always been this way, but it is now. And we'd love to have you come back. You can find all our stuff over at theaverageguy.tv/live. We've got a couple shows out over there. You can find Mike at the 2980network.com. That's network, right? No S, network.
Yeah, 2980network.com.
And he has a show called Open Mic Night. That's all about Mac and Apple and what's going on in the Apple empire. And then, of course, we're part of the Geeks Network. And if you want a Windows podcast that's really, really good, you should be catching Windows Observer with Rich Hay right now. Rich is on his game, and it's 30 minutes of some of the best Microsoft news. That's how I get my news now. Yeah. And Rich is on the Geeks Network. So head out to thegeeksnetwork.com. It's a podcast you can download and listen to in a week. And Rich does not waste any time. I mean, this is not a chat, jib, jab. Hey, how was your day? Oh, I ate a banana today. Oh, did you make pancakes? That kind of stuff, not happening with Rich Hay. It's all Windows all the time. Very, very, you know, moving on. The Agnostic Tech Podcast is another one that I like. Darren and John are out there, and they kind of they cover some of this stuff, but man, they are super thorough. Anything they're testing, they are diving into it, and they don't care what the technology is. It could be Apple, it could be Android, it could be Windows. And you know what? They're not beholden to anybody. So they kind of give you the real deal on it. And you want to check those out. So that's just a couple of the 9 or so podcasts we have on the Geeks Network. So head out to thegeeksnetwork.com. In the next couple of weeks, we have a great list of folks coming back. We mentioned Alex is coming in to talk about the kangaroo. So we're going to have one of their guys come in and talk about that. We are going to try to podcast around the Christmas era. I'm going to do the Wednesday before Thursday, which is Christmas Eve. So a little bit of a show change from that standpoint. The 31st, we're going to invite some guys back. Maybe another blab conversation about the future of tech. Always a good time to come out and talk about those kinds of things at the end of the year. What's going on in 2016? What are you looking for? You know, things like HoloLens and what's the newest phone that you're looking forward to? Ken asked me, one more question out there. Ken asked me, Jim, any plans for a December newsletter? I sure hope so. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, go out to theaverageguy.tv/subscribe. And I send those out. They've been pretty much every other month now, but just a good opportunity here for me. Unfortunately, my son is in the Marines, or he's in Marine basic training. He's a recruit. He'll be a Marine here shortly. And all my writing time has gone into writing him. So I apologize if you're on the list. You haven't heard from me. It will be coming up here shortly. We'll try and get one of those out. Peter Hudson from Shelfie is back. We interviewed him last year. And of course, that's a little device. Take a picture of the books on your shelf. And if they have available e-versions of them for free or low cost, they'll send those, make them available right to you. Jamie, the founder and chief inventor of Ring, found at ring.com, is coming on the show here in early January. I'm having Rich Hay on, and we're going to get a solid dose of Windows. When he comes back, Mike Howard is going to come back on. We're going to have an Unraid show. Mike Howard says Unraid more than anybody I know. We talked about backup tonight. Mike's going to come on and talk about his Unraid server and what it's doing, and we'll look forward to that. Amber Gott from LastPass, which just got purchased by LogMeIn, is going to be back on here in early February. She's getting ready to have a baby, so we're going to try and sneak her in before that baby comes. And, of course, LastPass is a friend of the show and sponsors our app that you can find. You can find the app for Android or iPhone out at Home Gadget Geeks, all one word, HomeGadgetGeeks.com. With that, we'll say thanks for coming out. If you're watching live, don't go anywhere. We actually don't leave. This just ends the recorded part of the show. Actually, I'll still record it. But this is what makes it into the RSS feed. Everything else after this is post-show. It could get a little salty, so I'm just going to say stay around. Sometimes the post-show is a little bit better than the live show. We are out here every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. Easiest way to find us is theaverageguy.tv/live. And with that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.